And we do appreciate you for your giving. One thing, I usually forget to do this, but I'm reminding myself now. I try to remind myself early on. Lady Devin, my son Dylan, happens to be playing today in the orchestra in Indianapolis. And so she took him down there, is going to be with him all the way through the concert, her, Lana, and Dylan. So that's why they are gone and not there. Normally when she's gone, I forget to tell you why, but that's what they are doing. And so we're grateful for him being chosen to be one of those people to play. Amen. Thankful for all our young people. I don't want to single out, but I will shout out one other. I'm thankful for all of them, but I'm going to shout out Brother Damari being back home from college. Yeah. And been playing pretty, I've been checking the stats, been playing pretty well. Taught him everything he knows. Amen. Forgive me for lying in the pulpit, Lord. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray with a preaching moment. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, bless this word. Bless your people, God. Encourage us, touch us, strengthen us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. Come on with your Bibles in your hands. Repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise. Amen. So starting off where we're going to start, as well as where we're going to end, it is with this title, and I'll have them bring it up for us. It is Help Wanted. Help Wanted. Help Wanted. Sometimes we just get in a situation where help is not just needed, but it's wanted. All right, and so let's just define help. Of course, it's something, a word that we know, but let's define it. Make it easier for someone to do something by offering one services or resources. Just make it easier. So that's what help does. Good help makes things easier. It lifts the load. It lightens the load. Sometimes the load just gets heavy at times. So let me just give you a transparent moment with me. So I happened to wake up because of my sleep schedule. I woke up to the news that we had lost Sister Charlotte. I was praying for the opposite. You know, she got close to death's door several times. She had always bounced back. So I woke up to the news. I wasn't very excited about it. Just as like, ah, man, sometimes, especially toward the end of the year, I'm like, God, can I just get out these last few months without losing anybody? Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. So anyway, I believe that might have been Tuesday. Wednesday, I come to Bible study. We do Bible study. It's raining that day, dark. Where I normally park, I park over here normally, but I decided to park over there with Sister Ruth of Parks. I parked over there. And as I was leaving, I heard a noise. And I'm pulling off, and that noise didn't sound good. So I get out. I had where we have that sign that says reserved. I had pulled my new car right next to it and had scratched it real good. But it was raining something. At least it was raining. It wasn't that bad. But the next day, it was worse than what I thought. I'm like, God, why? Can you just have some stuff go right? Car is not that big of a deal, but sometimes you feel like can't have nothing. Just like Stuff just going wrong. The previous day, I had seen both of my, many of you may not know this, but both my son Dylan and Alana, both, they both have been diagnosed with night blindness, which they cannot see in the dark at all. There is no cure for it. They are on a list. If they do find a cure, they will let them know about it. But up until this point, there is no cure. And so both Dylan and Alana suffer with it. And so we were playing basketball. And now because of daylight saving time, it's getting darker. And so even though there's not that many warm months left, I decided, let me put some extra lights so that they can see. And so I got the extra lights put up, some on the goal, some on a light post, some in the ground. And guess what? 2 days later, Lady Devin accidentally rolled over one of the lights and crushed it. And when she did, I didn't get upset. I didn't bother. I was like, baby, it's okay. And then the next day, I scratched something up. I was like, God, I was nice to her. I ain't have no attitude or nothing. But sometimes life just be lifing. And it's not that it's the most important things, but when you couple it with loss and death and grief, it just gets ugh. And in those cases, you want some help. All right, so let's go to the next definition. Put another definition. I'm gonna put up a definition of desperate. And there's a reason why I put this up here. So I'm gonna read that. Desperate is this: it is the feeling, showing, or involving of a hopeless sense that a situation is so bad as to be impossible to deal with. It's nothing wrong with needing help and wanting help. The problem is that when you need help and want help in a time of desperation, what happens is there comes a sense of not just helplessness, but hopelessness, a sense of despair. And we have to be very careful. It's nothing wrong with needing help, but you have to be very careful when despair comes and grief comes and trials comes and just stuff comes in the midst of it. And let me say this, many times when I'm sharing and when I'm talking about the things y'all know about. But there are things that I know about that some of the members have shared with me privately that don't everybody know about. And I can say it, clearly, everybody going through something in this place. It's not just the open stuff we know about. It's stuff that's been going on for years and sometimes months and sometimes weeks. And we have to be careful. Even though we are Deliverance Temple, we can get into a spirit of desperation. And here's the thing. When you get desperate, you make decisions that you wouldn't make when you weren't desperate. So let's pull up this sign here, sign that we always see or very familiar with. Go ahead and put up the sign. The sign says help wanted. I found this sign on the internet and I borrowed it because we've seen that type of sign. But hidden in that white, I added from anywhere. Help wanted. But here's the problem. When you get desperate, you want help from anywhere. And it may not be where you need to get the help from, so you have to be very careful, because when you need help and when you want help and you couple that with desperation, you're tempted to get help from any place. I won't say their name, even though they've shared it openly, but it's a famous preacher, famous to preachers and to people who pay attention to preachers. It's a famous preacher who at some time around in, I believe it was before the pandemic, but they lost both their mother and their sister within months of each other, very close, people who were very close to them. And this preacher goes on to say, he shared it now in 2024, he goes on to say that he prayed, he studied, he preached, he went to church, he did a lot of things, but the only thing that was giving him any help was shots of Patron. He saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, but the desperation was so strong and so deep that he find help in a place that he shouldn't have found help in. Now he's still preaching and coming through it, and he's able to share it as a testimony. But the reason why I'm sharing it, because I need you to understand that when despair sets in and desperation sets in, there is a tendency, even of saved folk, to grab help where they don't need to be grabbing help from. There's no need for me to be a preacher and have to rely on shots of Patron when I have God and I have shots of the Bible. But guess what? Everybody is human, and everybody sometimes just can't take the pressure. So I don't want you to believe that just because people stand behind the podium that they don't get in situations that they need deliverance from too. But the beautiful thing is he's able to say, I'm on the other side of it. I don't need that. But he was sharing it with other church folk. And I love it when pastors are honest. Yes. Because as long as pastors fake the funk, the folk in the pews feel like, what's wrong with me? But many times we all are going through it. So help wanted, but not help from anywhere. We can't just get help from anywhere. Let's look at what David said. Let's look at Psalms 121. And one,
I will lift up mine eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come?
He was in a place where he was wondering, where's my help going to come from? So I'm lifting up my heads. I'm looking upward because I'm in a situation where I need help. I want help, but desperation is just around the corner. So look at what he says in verse number 2.
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
This is what settles us down, even in despairing times, even in icky times, even in just moments where you scratch a car or even just small stuff. We are reminded that my help comes from the Lord. It may not have showed up yet, may not have showed up like I want it, but at least I know where it comes from. So once I start looking in the wrong places and turning to the wrong things, I'm reminded that I don't have to stay in those things and stay in those places, because at the end of the day, my help comes from the Lord. Now, the problem with some church folk, they really don't know where their help comes from. And so they stay in stuff too long. They doing stuff too wrong, too long. But I know who my help is. And I know where my help comes from. Now, if I was to, I think I'll do it. You don't have to follow me, Brother Draylen, on the camera. But I'm just going to get up and I'm going to get this. I got a bottle of oil. And I'm going to take this bottle of oil and I'm going to hand it to Sister Kelly. And I'm going to go right back up on the podium. The beautiful thing about what I just did is if I need it, I know where it's at. I know who got it because I put it in her hands. This is the beautiful thing about casting your cares on the Lord. Because if I put it in his hands and I still don't have it figured out, if I need help, I know who to go back to. Now, here's the thing. If I were to take that oil and I had divided up amongst all of y'all, once I need to get it back, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn to because I done gave it to too many folk. But as long as I know where my help comes from, I know who I need to go to when I need some more help. Yeah. All right, so as we move on, I want to give us a song. There's a song that I like, and it's a very simple song, but it's a powerful song. It's a Hezekiah Walker song, and so I'm going to walk through just the verses of it, and it's not many words to the verse, but let's put up the first words of the song. It says this: why should I worry? Why should I fret? Look at all the ways he's made and every promise kept. Now, when you're in a new situation, you're in a new trial, that is always difficult because new is new. New can be hard. New can be difficult. But this song says, I got to look at all the ways he's already made and the promises he's already kept. Maybe the current thing that I'm going through, he hasn't showed up yet. But if I can look at what he's already done, it reminds me to keep turning to him because of what he's already done. Then the song goes on to say this. Let's read this. I look to the hills from which cometh my help.
I'll tell you where my help cometh. It cometh from the Lord. They sing that just a few times, and then they go on to this refrain. And for the rest of the song, this is all that they say. Go ahead and put it up. They say it this way. Jesus is my help. They sing it over and over and modulate, very simple, but they land on the idea that Jesus is my help. And here, I'm here, I came by, let me do it like the Baptist preacher was saying, I stopped by to let you know Jesus is my help. I may not have it all figured out, but Jesus is my help. I may not know how my tears are going to stop, but Jesus is my help. I may not know how the marriage is going to work out, but Jesus is my help. I may not know where I'm going to get the money from, but Jesus is my help. I may not know what the doctor diagnosed, but Jesus is my help. The depression hasn't left, but Jesus is my help. The peace hasn't come, but Jesus is my help. The grief hasn't left, but Jesus is my help. I know where my help comes. It comes from the Lord. So help wanted is beautiful, but knowing where to get the help is even better. Somebody say that with me. Say, Jesus is my help. Say it again. Jesus is my help. He is my help. He is your help. That doesn't always change the problem right away, but there is a sense of security and soundness when you know Jesus is your help. Because this is what you begin to understand. I don't know when and I don't know how, but I have an understanding that it won't be like this forever because he is my help. And I can say he has been helping me and helping us through the process. Here's what you fail to remember sometimes when you are in despair and desperation. You fail to remember that if he had not been there. See, we know what it looks like because he was there, but we've never seen what it looks like if he wasn't there. See, I wouldn't be as sane as I am if he wasn't there. I couldn't put a smile on my face if he wasn't there. I couldn't get up out the bed if he wasn't there. Don't just think about what hasn't worked, but remind yourself Jesus is your help and he has been there. Because the alternative would have been a lot worse. I'd been sitting in a jail cell if he wasn't there. I may not be your pastor if he wasn't there. Let me not be so clean it up. No, there's no way I could be your pastor if he wasn't there. Jesus is my help. So now I want to go ahead and I want to teach it now. So let's put this up. Four types of help. Four different types of help that we want to walk through, trek through. And I want us to look at it in two ways. I wanted to look at it as Jesus and as man. So when I say Jesus is my help, that is true, but sometimes Jesus will help through other people. And it is very important that Jesus does that because it binds us and bonds us to other people. Let me say this. Yes, I would have lost my mind if it wasn't for Jesus, but I would have lost my mind if it wasn't for some of y'all. Because Jesus packaged himself in you, and when you smiled and when you hugged, and when you called me, and when you texted me, and when you prayed for me, and when you shook money in my hand, the help that I needed from Jesus was found in you. Don't get so saved that you don't need other people. This life that we live, we need folk, but we need not just anybody, we need some sound people. Now, when you are desperate, you get hooked up to sometimes toxicity. But the more you heal, the more you realize I need some Jesus folk around me. Not always people just tongue talking, because sometimes the tongue talker can fake the funk. No, I need somebody at the end of the day that can show me Jesus. When I do confess confess to them that it took shots of Patron to keep my mind, that they don't tell the whole world, but they pray for me until I can get my sobriety back. I need some Jesus in the people. See, we communicate Christ's love compassionately because sometimes the only Jesus they'll see is the Jesus in me and the Jesus in you. So as we're going through these four types, we're going to see it from the spiritual side as well as the natural side. I'll try to make the connection. If I don't make the connection, maybe you'll see it. Some verses will talk about Jesus and God, and others will talk about humans. So let's start off with our first one, point number one. Number one is hearing. You ever heard somebody say this, hear me out? Hear me out. This is one thing I've learned in marriage and learned in relationships. Sometimes women don't want you to fix it. They just want you to listen. And a lot of times when they're talking, I'm trying to come up with a solution. But sometimes they're saying the help that I want is just for you to hear me. Some people, they would be better if they could just be heard. Sometimes they would be better if they could just articulate how they really feel. Not everybody can articulate what they feel, but when they muster up the courage to say what they feel and you don't hear them, that's very painful. So sometimes people just want to be heard. Now, let me pause and say this. Sometimes people talk too much. And when you talk so much, it's hard to get people to hear you because they check out on you because all you do is talk, talk, talk. Sometimes start being silent and choose your talking wisely to the right people. And people will recognize, wait a second, Teresa's too silent today. She's not her normal self. So let me go listen to her. Let me go engage with her. For those of you who are hearers, pay attention to the people who've all of a sudden gone silent. Yeah. Now, sometimes when a woman's fed up, she stops talking. That's one of the worst things you can do is be in a situation where she's no longer talking. Because when a woman's fed up, she's fed up. Same thing with a man. Sometimes a man has few words, but if every time he talks, you cut him off, you're going to find him checking out. And there will always be another woman who will listen when you wouldn't listen. So hearing is vitally important. So let's start off with God first. Let's look at Psalm 61 and 1.
Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer.
David said, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Sometimes the help that we need is because it feels like God is not hearing us. But here's the thing. Some people will stop talking to God and others will cry the more. The Bible says of blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, that Jesus was passing by and he hollered out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And folk told him to be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. And he hollered the more because here's the thing. They had sight. He did not. Stop letting people talk you out of your holler and talk you out of your scream. Hear my cry, oh God. Oh, don't take all that in church. Every time she come to church, she hollering. Well, yeah, I got to holler to get what I need. All right, and look at what it says in the next verse.
From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Listen, when my heart is overwhelmed, you can be saved and overwhelmed. But when you're overwhelmed, don't come in here and be cute. Cry out to God. From the ends of the earth, I'll cry out to God. I don't wait till church to cry out to God. I'll cry out in Walmart. I'll cry out in my car. I'll cry out in my backyard. I need some help. Help me, Lord. Now, what if a person was drowned and sinking under the water? If you, a lifeguard, if you see fit to stop by and help me while I'm drowning. No, no. Help! Help! Help me! Here's a problem. Some of y'all ain't sinking yet. And so it's hard for you to cry out. But when your heart is overwhelmed, you don't got no choice but to cry out to God. and lead me to the rock that's high in the night. Let's go to 1 John 5, 14 and 15.
And this is a confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Oh, there's a confidence, even when I'm hollering, that if it's his will, he's going to hear us. Now, let's pause right there. One of the hard things to accept that some stuff wasn't his will. Because if it was his will, he would have done it. But his will sometimes trumps our will. And he says, I'll do it the way I need to do it. And it's okay to cry out in those times knowing, God, you're going to hear me. Let's go to the next verse.
And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him.
Oh, if we know he hears us, then we know we have the request. So how does that relate to the us's? It's when we come here together and we have not got the answer. We've not got the manifestation. We've not got the results. That's why we still praise God, because I know he heard me. Listen, he may not come when I want him, but when he comes, he's going to be right on time. So I'm praising him in advance. I'm praising him on credit. I'm praising him like he going to do it today. I'm praising him like he already done it. See, some of y'all, it has to happen the way you want it to happen for you to give God praise. Other folk, it doesn't make a difference. The fact that he woke me up this morning, he started me on my way. That there's food on my table and clothes on my back. I can praise him for what he's going to do. I can praise him for what he's already done, because he is who he is. And the Bible says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. So sometimes I'm hollering because I need help. But sometimes I'm hollering because I'm praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory. Honor to the King of Kings. For the Lord our God is mighty. For the Lord our God is omnipotent. For the Lord our God, he is wonderful. So don't judge a person's praise if you haven't seen their pain. Let me say that again. Don't judge a person's praise if you haven't seen their pain. All right, let's move right along. Let's go to point number two. So number one was hearing. Number two is encouraging. Let's look at Romans 15, 4 through 5, New Living Translation.
Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled.
Oh, so Paul is writing to the church in Rome saying that the scriptures, they do something for us. They give us hope, because when we look in the scriptures, we realize everybody went through. Even the ones we love the most. Abraham, do you understand? Abraham waited 25 years to have a child. And when he got the child, he heard an instruction, go and sacrifice the child. That's not an easy walk. But it gives us hope that if there was a ram in the bush for Abraham, there might be a ram in the bush for me. That if there was a burning bush for Moses, there might be a burning bush for me. If Hezekiah could get 15 extra years, it's a possibility I can get 15 extra years. So there's hope in the word, and it encourages us. That's why, even though there's a lot of things that I could talk about, I like to go back to the word, because there's life in the word. And it brings me hope. One of the scriptures that have been bringing me hope, the scripture says that God is nigh and he's near to the brokenhearted. And we have been brokenhearted, but God promises that our broken heart won't stop him from stepping in. See, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again, because Humpty didn't get to the king. He was around the king's horses and he was around the king's men, but he wasn't around the king. So just like Tamar the man said, take me to the king, because the king can heal my broken heart. And so I am encouraged by the word that tells me it's not going to be like this forever. Now sometimes the word, this ain't never happened to y'all. But since I read the word all the time, sometimes I don't want to hear the word. What do you mean, Pastor? Because when the word says that God hears me, and I feel like he haven't heard me, I'd be like, man, I don't want to read that. I don't want to hear that. But like Jeremiah said, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. See, when you got this thing like the Bible say, you can't shut it off when you want to. It just keeps on. It's like a leaky toilet that once you flush it, it just keep on running. Just keep on running. See that word, it'll keep on running. Even when you try to walk away from God, it'll keep on running. That's why the pastor couldn't stay with the shots of Patron, because the word of God just kept on running. I got to put the old stuff down and I got to yield to God. I'm hurting, but somehow God gonna make it work. Somehow he gonna make a way. All right, let's look at verse 5.
May God, who gives the patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus.
Oh, okay, hold on. The God who gives this patience, because we have to wait for the promises to be fulfilled. And some people wait till glory, which means they wait till death. But that's hard for us to understand, but eternity is much longer than the time we have right now. The scripture says life is a vapor. And so what we have in eternity is much more than what we have right now. So some people, they don't get blessed until they cross over. Some people don't get healed until they cross over. Some people get it now. Some people don't get the fullness until they get over. But the encouragement is that he allows us to live in harmony with each other. See, it's one thing to need help, and it's another thing that all the folk around you don't like you. All the folk around you won't speak to you. But I hope we are building a church that the people, if I could just see some of the people, it'll make me feel good. I was meeting with one of our members earlier in the week. We were talking about something that was important, and another member passed by and saw us, and it just made me feel happy to see my members. Guess what? I'm the pastor, but seeing y'all does something to me. It encourages me. It makes me feel like, no, don't give up, don't quit. Now, I've shared this before, and I'll share it again because the devil's just dirty. When people start passing away, sometimes I ask, is it my fault? I'll get out the way if it's me. And God says, no, it ain't you. Just keep on trucking. But then I see y'all, or y'all reach out to me, or you call me, or you text me. It's the harmony. Now, I don't want to talk about anybody else, and we're not perfect, but some churches, there's no harmony. You have stress outside the building, and then you get more stress when you get in the building, because the folk in the building are so ugly acting and so mean and so weird acting. It's hard to have any Holy Ghost when you got folk that sit next to you that won't act right. Or let me flip it. They'll act right only in the building, but when they see you outside the building, they act like they don't know you. I hope we're not building Deliver Simple members like that. Well, I want us to love all the time. Love while we're in here. Love while we're out there. Now, we don't always be perfect. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. But at the end of the day, we love each other. Let me throw this in. This don't have nothing to do with my sermon, nothing to do with my message. But let me just show you how folk love me up in here. Sister Trish, when I preach, she be saying, smoke that turkey, smoke that turkey. Smoke it. I ain't never in my life had anybody say that while I've been preaching. But it's a new thing, and I'm enjoying it. But sometimes things that you speak come to pass. Because Brother Jason walked up to me today, and he said, come on over here. And he handed me some smoked turkey that I could take home for my lunch. She spoke it. He brought it into existence. And guess what? When I eat it at lunch, it's going to put a smile on my face. Because there's harmony in the house of God. We a church of God that we know how to come together. And I'm grateful. So what does that do? It encourages us. It makes us feel good that we have people that love each other. Now, could my preaching have a bigger crowd? Yes. But if the bigger crowd is going to take away from the love, I'd rather have the folk that I have that love each other so we can be what we need to be. Let's move on to 1 Thessalonians 5, 8. Let's read this.
But since we are of the day, let us be sober.
Even though we're desperate, let us be sober.
Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation.
So we got this faith and this love and the hope of our deliverance. We put that on. We'll look at verse 9.
For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Sometimes we forget about this. But this is something that ought to give us some encouragement. We're not destined to wrath. Here's the truth of the matter. Even though it's hard for me to lose members, not a member I lost had to go down. They all got to go up because of the word that was embraced here. See, they were not destined to wrath. They were destined to salvation, which is what deliverance means. And so every time they came into the deliverance temple, their temples were being delivered so they would not get wrath. They get reward. It still hurts because we would rather have them here. But guess what? When they got where they're going, they wouldn't want to come back because of the reward that they have. And so what this tells us is we're not destined to wrath. Why? Because of my preaching? No, because of the cross that sits behind me when I preach. Because he already took the wrath and we get the reward. So look at what it says in verse 10. It goes on to explain what I just explained. Verse 10 says what?
He who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him.
What that means is awake whether we are alive. Or whether we are asleep, whether we are dead, this type of dead, we are still going to live with him because he died for us. That's the great exchange. It's one of the best gifts ever. Now look at what it says in verse 11.
Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing.
Another scripture version says, encourage one another with these words. So encourage each other that, yes, at the end of the day, when the day ends, we going to get heaven. We're going to get eternity with the master. We're going to get eternity with the Savior. And somebody said, well, Pastor, you may get it, but I done made some mistakes. But you don't understand, the blood covers a multitude of sins and faults. All you got to do is get dipped in the blood, get covered in the blood. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why when Draylen requested the song Worth, you thought I was worth saving. You thought I was to die for. But as I was looking for the videos, because whenever we get a song, I try to find a video for it, I didn't know he was going to institute a song we had sang years ago that love lifted me. See, when nothing else can help, love lifted me. And the reason why we come to a church of L-O-V-E is because even when you make a mistake, love can lift you. Love can pull you. Love can raise you. And that leads me to point number three. Number one was the hearing. Number two is the encouragement. Number three is this, it is lifting. Yeah, the love lifts. Now here's the thing. If you are always on cloud nine, you would never need to be lifted. But the truth of the matter is sometimes we come back down and sometimes we go a little further down. Sometimes we're on the bottom of the barrel, but there is a lifting. And it's not a pulling, it's a lifting. See, when you get in an elevator, you can go and travel several floors, and you don't have to do the work. All you got to do is enjoy the ride. And sometimes you're down, you're on a lower floor, but I want to tell you, just keep on pushing the button. Let me give you an example. Have you ever been in a place and you've pushed the button for the elevator to come, but it's taken a while? And you look, man, it'd be easier to take the steps than it is to wait for the elevator to come. But then you think about how much it would cost to take the steps. And you figure, I'll just wait and I'll catch the elevator. I learned that lesson in Canada, in Niagara Falls. We were at an Embassy Suites in Niagara Falls, and there were 64 floors. And we were on the 58th floor, something like that. And the elevators were so bad. And so my kids were young, and I was a little bit younger. And so we were pushing the elevators. And it's not that the elevators were so bad, but there were so many people that it took a while for the elevator to come. And I'm saying, I just want to go ahead and go to the room. And I told the kids, I'm going to beat y'all. And so I start going up the steps because, you know, I'm young, I'm vibrant. But baby, on the 20th floor, I had got wore out, and I had 34 more to go. When I got to the room, they was sitting down. They was in the jacuzzi, and I'm sweating like a stuck hog because I didn't want to wait, and I went the hard way. I'm trying to let you know it may be hard, but no, don't go the hard way. Let God lift you up. Let God elevate you up. Ride the wave on up. Don't do it the hard way. Like the pastor was sharing, taking the shots of Patron, that's the hard way. Because the alcohol will take it away for a minute, but it'll bring it right back. You got to sometimes trust the process, even though it seems like it's taking long. Step on in there and ride that elevator. And ride it all the way to the top. All right, so there's a lifting. Let's look at Psalms 3:1-3. Says this,
Lord,
what does it say?
How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me.
David was talking about his situation. Verse 2.
Many there be which say of my soul,
yes,
there is no help for him in God.
No help. Help wanted, but they're saying there is no help. But look at what verse 3 says.
But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head.
Yeah, they telling me there is no help left for you. But David says, you're my glory. And you lift up my head. When I want to keep my head down, you lift it up. When I want to stay on the ground, you raise me up. What's the song? Like wings on the eagle. You lift me up. You raise me up. But God is the one that does it. It is his glory. Now, you won't experience his glory always on the top. You won't know how glorious he is. See, he's glorious on the mountaintop, but he's also glorious in the valley. If you never make it to the valley, you don't know that he can raise you up from the valley. So sometimes you have to go through the low times so he can lift you up. Now let's move on and touch the human side. Let's look at Exodus 17:10-12.
So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill.
Climbed to the top of the hill. Read the next verse.
As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage.
Yes.
But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage.
So what was going on, they were having a battle. Joshua was fighting, and Moses was raising up the staff. And as long as the staff was up, the battle was being won by the Israelites. But when his arm got tired and would drop, they would begin to lose. Read the next verse.
Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset.
Woo! Sometimes in order to get the victory, you got to sit down.
That's right.
So they got something for him to sit down. And they said, just lift your hands, Moses. But when your hands get weary, we're going to stand and we're going to hold up them hands. And that's what the church does for me. When Andre gets tired, y'all keep my hands lifted up. Y'all keep me lifted up. That's why people say it this way. I'm lifting you up in prayer. You're lifting me up so that the battle can go on, so that the enemy won't get the advantage, so that we can have a victory, so that the hands can be lifted up. And every time you come in here and praise and raise your hands up, you're signifying what happened there, that you can't do it by yourself, but somebody's going to come alongside you and lift your hands up so that the battle can be won. That leads me to point number four, so let's go through it again. So we got the hearing, we got the encouraging, we have the lifting. Now let's hear point number four is what? It's the praying. Let's go to Hebrews 24:7-25.
But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever.
Yes, he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Those of you who are Bible scholars, you know what that means. Let's look at the next verse.
Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf.
Oh, hold on. So when we talk about the cross and we talk about that God has covered our sins and he's made things available for us, sometimes we do think, but what happens if we just keep on falling, keep on messing up? Well, here's the thing. Only you can pluck yourself out of God's hand. Nobody else can do it. If you want him, he wants you. But not only does he want you, and not only did he die for you, but the Bible says he ever lives, which means in eternity. So when Jesus got done, he said it is finished on the cross. He goes up into heaven after he ascended. He sits down at the right hand of God, which means he's resting. But just because he's resting doesn't mean he's not working. But his working is different. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for you. So he goes to God on your behalf. And so instead of God seeing Teresa, God sees Jesus. And so when Teresa messes up and should have God's wrath, Jesus steps up and says, oh, I paid for Teresa. So if you're going to judge anything, remember you judged it at the cross. He ever liveth. So the only reason why you fail and the only reason why you go to hell is because you stop believing in what Jesus has already done. He already did it, but in eternity, he's still praying for you. He's still interceding for you. He's still stepping in for you. So even though you want to despair, don't, because he's on your side. He's got people holding up your arms. But when sometimes you run in a situation where you can't find nobody, I don't see who's holding, I don't have an Aaron and a her holding up my arms. I'm in this by myself. And sometimes you feel like you're in it by yourself. I'm alone. Because sometimes what you go through, you can't tell nobody. This happened, but I can't tell nobody. So it's just me by myself. But the Bible says Jesus is up there praying for you, interceding for you, going on in war for you. So don't you quit. Don't you give up, because Jesus believes in you. You believe in Jesus, but he believes in you, because he wouldn't keep interceding for you if he didn't believe for you. He believed you're going to make it. So don't make him out to be a liar. No, go ahead and make it. You can make it. Somebody say, I can make it.
I can make it.
Let's look at Luke 22.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.
Let's bring it down. That the first one was a heavenly example. Let's bring it down to something that happened on earth. This is after the betrayal, the betrayal and the denial. The betrayal is by Judas. The denial is going to be by Peter. And so here Simon is also Peter. So Jesus says, Satan, he wants you. He wants to sift you as wheat. Now, I don't really know much about the wheat process, but that sifting is a breaking down. Just breaking you down to nothing. Have you ever been broken down? That's the work of the enemy. That's the work of Satan. And the scripture says he actually wants you so he can do it. So when it happened to Job, the scripture says that Satan said, just let me get at him. The devil wakes up to want to get at you, and he wants to break you down. Because in his mind, he believes if he strips you down to nothing, you will lose your faith in God. And so Jesus was warning Peter about this. Let's look and read further.
But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Jesus says, but I have prayed for you, which counts out everything Satan wants to do and is trying to do and sometimes is allowed to do. And the reason why he's allowed to do, because there's a but that cancels out everything. And the but is, I've prayed for you. Jesus said, I personally have prayed for you, Peter. And this is what I love. Go ahead and put the verse back up real quick. This is what I love. It says, and when thou art converted. It doesn't say if. Let me put it in our own English. And he doesn't say if you come out, if you make it, if it turns around. He says when it turns around. Because it's a guarantee it's going to turn around, because I'm the one who's doing the praying. And I need to let you know, it's good to have folk pray for you, but I'm here to let you know Jesus himself is praying for you. And it's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. He said, but when you are converted, he says, I want you to do something. I want you to strengthen your brother. In other words, the only reason why I'm allowing you to go through the process is because the process is going to break you down. But when I rebuild you, you'll be able to help somebody else. And guess what? They won't break it down as far as you did, because you will stand in between and you will help them. So put this up. This is a quick note to help you understand how this works. For number one, is help needed. And then help wanted. We're talking about help wanted, but sometimes people they need the help, but they don't want the help. But we're talking about help wanted. But then when help is received, then it's help given. So once you receive the help, then you turn around and you help somebody else. Lord Jesus, this is what the commission singer said. Lord Jesus, help me to help somebody else. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and 18.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
So this is one way we can help others. See, sometimes you can give money, you can help people move, you can talk to them, you can give them advice, but there's one way you can always help people, is you pray for folks. See, when you've gone through, and you've grieved, and you've buried loved ones, and someone else, it is their turn to do the burying. You pray for them because you know what it's like. Yeah. See, some people are praying, but other people are praying because they've been through it. And when you've been through it, you pray different than other people can pray. Your prayer means something because you understand different. Deliverance Temple, when we pray for folk, it's different because we understand it on a different level. We've been through it, as apostle would say, we've been through hell and high water. But because of that, our prayer is powerful. See, the more powerful I get, the shorter my prayers get. It don't take me 27 hours to get a prayer through. I can say, stop, the Lord rebuke you, and things can turn around because of the pain that I've been through, because of the fires I've been in. It's for something in me, and I got a power that I wouldn't have had I not gone through it. So don't waste time. Get to praying. Get to praying for folk. Get to praying for stuff. Sister Ruther convicted me because she started praying for Donald Trump, and I had forgot. I ain't been praying for him and his family. But guess what? Prayers can change things, and prayers can interrupt things, and prayers can turn things around. So get back to praying. Get back to talking to God. Pray in the morning. Pray in the midday. Pray in the afternoon. Pray in the evening. Pray in the midnight. Pray, folks, pray, because It can make a difference. So let's put this up as we come to a close. Here we go. Let's put it all together.
And praying.
No, here it is all together. The hearing, the encouraging, the lifting, and the praying. That's help, baby. That is help. The hearing, the encouraging, the lifting, and the praying. That's the help, baby. The hearing, the encouraging, the lifting, and the praying. That's the help. That is the help. Jesus is my help. Now we're going to confess together. The first one, we're going to sit and we're going to, we have two confessions, but we're going to sit for the first one. And the second one, I'll tell you when to rise and when to stand. So here's the confession. Let's put the first one up. I'm going to read it and then we'll confess it together. So I'll read it first. I need help, and Jesus is that help. In other words, Jesus is the help that I need. He's sending me people who will hear me, encourage me, lift me, and pray for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say it together. I need help.
I need help.
I need help.
I need help.
And Jesus is that help.
And Jesus is that help.
He is sending me,
people
who will hear me, encourage me,
lift me,
and pray for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. We're going to do another one. We're going to shift the confession and do it another way. I'm going to read it again, and then on the second time, we will confess it together. So the first time, through Jesus, I will help others. I will hear them, encourage them, lift them, and pray for them in Jesus' name, amen. In other words, once you receive the help, you turn around and you become a helper for someone else. So let's say it together. Through Jesus. Through Jesus.
Through Jesus.
I will help others.
I will hear them.
I will encourage them.
I will lift them.
I will pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now come on, shout the glory. Somebody say this, say help wanted
and help found
in me. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, you are our help, but you are inside of us. And because you are inside of us, we're able to help those who need to be helped. We are a hospital. We are a place that people can get help. So all the hurting, can't folk hurt worse than the way we've been hurt? Can't nobody grieve worse than the way we have grieved? And because we have hurt, and because we have grieved, and because we have gone through, we can make a difference to anybody we come in contact with. So Jesus, you are our help, but through us, we are a help to this city. We are a help to this state. We are a help to this nation, and we are a help to this world. Deliverance Temple members are something to be reckoned with because we are the help that other people need, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful week.